Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson, together with the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. This is an email from Ben A. You want to take it?
Yep. Ben and Nathan, I've been an avid listener since December, presumably 2021, and a live LSAT member since January. Two questions that come... Demon Live, yep. Two questions that come to mind. One, which GPA will be used in my LSAT report to law schools? My undergraduate or the combined GPA from LSAC?
It's the LSAC GPA. You have to sign up for the Credential Assembly Service. You have to upload your transcripts. And then LSAC tells you what your LSAC GPA is. The number on your transcript doesn't matter at all. It's the LSAC GPA that counts for law school admissions.
Yep. Okay, so he has some details here about his situation that he thinks might change our answer to that question. I doubt it, but here are the details. My first attempt at college was in 2014. I didn't do well and withdrew, but the school never processed the withdrawal, leaving me with a semester of all Fs. Oof. Okay, well, I would actually go back and talk to the school, see if you can get that changed before you submit that record to the LSAC. I took a break from college, worked in the local area, then joined the military. In my second attempt at college, while on active duty military, I completed an associate's degree with a 3.49 and a bachelor's with a 3.54. Note, I was able to complete my bachelor's without sending them the transcripts from my community college. Okay, 3.54. Also, I do plan to write a brief GPA addendum. I attempted to pursue college, withdrew, took a break, and came back. Since re-enrolling, all grades have been majority A's and B's. I mean, what do you think? I would say first and foremost, try to get rid of those Fs. Just say, hey, there was a problem.
Yeah. So are you saying that the classes that you took for your associate's degree weren't even counted as credits for your bachelor's? Because I don't know if he could pull this off, but it almost seems like he could. When he does his credential assembly service, do you think it's possible that he could just upload the transcripts from his bachelor's and LSAC gives him a GPA? Because that's the grades that counted toward his bachelor's.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. To go through the process. Yeah.
You open the door to like character and fitness issues if you do shit like that, because they're going to ask you, I mean, they're going to specifically tell you that you need to upload transcripts for every college or university you ever attended.
But I mean, his GPA is not a whole lot different for that.
That's true. The community college GPA isn't going to hurt you. So maybe that part doesn't matter. But that first one, man, that one semester of all Fs is going to just like fucking tank your LSAC GPA.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would call that school. I would explain to them what's happening. I would say, listen, I was enrolled, but I didn't do anything. I didn't go to any classes. I thought I had withdrawn. You say, yeah, if it's a school error.
You got to focus on the school error. The school never processed the withdrawal request. Okay. That's your story.
That needs
That's
to be corrected.
Plan. Yeah.
So you call
don't go in there with a weak, you know, position like, oh, hey, I would really like this. No. This is what needs to happen because it was a mistake on your part. What do we do about it?
How tell me what steps you're going to take to correct this error that you made.
Yep.
And if they won't do it, then you could appeal to LSAC too. You could say, hey, listen, this school refuses to process my withdrawal. I withdrew. They failed to process the withdrawal. This shouldn't count. I clearly didn't go at all. I withdrew. They didn't process it and they refused to fix their mistake. Maybe LSAC then on their end will say, oh, okay, I see. And just not count those grades when they calculate your credential assembly service GPA.
But yes, I agree. But hopefully we never get there. It seems like your strongest argument is with the original school.
Yeah. And right. And then who cares really? 3.54 is not that good. You know, Ben A is like, seems to be happy majority A's and B's. That's not.
Get rid of your S and don't write an addendum. You just have your GPA. I don't know.
Yeah, I would too. I definitely would too. Yeah, no, the addendums just don't do anything anyway. They're going to have to report whatever it says on the credential assembly service. So you need to keep that bad evidence off of your record. Start with the school where they failed to process your withdrawal. Be a pain in the ass. Multiple phone calls, write letters, ask to speak to people's managers, yell and kick and scream and cry, do whatever, but like make them take those off of your record.
I mean, start kind, but firm.
Be professional, be firm, but eventually you might need to be a thorn in their side.
Yep.
Make sure that they get rid of that. Then if they won't, if you absolutely fail, if you exhaust all possible options there, then you can appeal to LSAC. That's a harder way to do it, I think.
Yep. Then it continues. Question number two, even though I have the GI Bill, do you think schools will use that as a reason not to offer scholarships, even if I'm otherwise qualified? Yeah, don't tell them that you have it, right?
You don't need to say GI Bill when you put in your application. I mean, I don't think.
From a business perspective, I could imagine them giving me offers, but not as inclined to offer me a scholarship. Personally, it's a benefit, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee a free ride. There are tuition caps on using the GI Bill. So if I actually want to go for free, I need to be competitive and will need some amount of scholarship. Yeah, I don't know what episode we were on, but just a second ago it was the last most recent Thinking LSAT episode. That one last correspondent had a GI Bill and 5 full rides, but was using the GI Bill for stipend money. That's awesome. Yeah,
it's episode 339 of the Thinking LSAT podcast. If you want to skip to the part with Vladimir, he was the one who was talking about it. But because he got full tuition scholarship offers from law schools, he was going to be able to use that GI money for living expenses. So, I mean, that's where you should go, Bene. So you need your best LSAT and GPA and apply early, apply broad. That's what Vlad did. Vladimir applied to 27 schools in September for the following September admission. He is a first generation immigrant. He ended up with 5 and counting full ride scholarship offers.
Yeah.
That's how you need to play the game.
Yep. Ben A continues, my timeline is as follows. I am studying now, tentatively planning to take the LSAT in June, but not married to it. I plan to apply in 2022 and matriculate in 2023. Other than GPA, I am solely focused on the LSAT. However, I want to know if the GPA is going to be a major factor to the point I should reconsider what my options would be.
LSATdemon.com/scholarships.
Yep.
Yes, your GPA is going to be a major factor. Make sure you get that semester of all Fs scrubbed from your record.
Yep.
But beyond that, a 3.5 and the right LSAT will get you scholarships at 100 different law schools. You can check that and play with different numbers at LSATdemon.com/scholarships. That'll show you what your options are. I mean, that's where you should figure out what kinds of schools you're going to apply to. Everything else sounds good. Anything else?
Nope.
Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.